Reading from John 19, 25 through verse 27. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his own household. In Jesus' dying breaths and last moments, he sees his mother and tenderly cares for her. He says, "Woman, behold your son." I used to think when I was younger and I read that he was intentionally inviting his mother to look even more onto his suffering, but he wasn't. He was inviting her to a new relationship with John, his disciple, the beloved. And he says, "Behold your son," not meaning himself, but the disciple John, who would show himself as his son by his affection and care for her. Jesus calls her woman, which was a term of respectful address, but less tender than calling her mother. I believe that when Jesus calls Mary woman, he creates some distance, possibly to ease her pain and maybe his own pain. Something I learned recently was that one of the most common things for a soldier to cry out when dying on the battlefield is for his mother. And this is something that's been witnessed in various conflicts throughout time and different cultures, that a soldier will cry out for his mother. And I imagine that Jesus, in his humanity, was longing for the nurture and the comfort of his mother in that moment. As a mother myself, I'm so thankful that I haven't had to witness my children suffering unto death. But I do remember when my kids were young and they cried out to me, how my heart would lurch. And my son, he's a young man now, but when he says, "Mom," there's something deep in me that remembers when he was a child and times of nurturing and comfort. If Jesus said mother to Mary, it might remind her of a child's cry to a mother and add even more pain in the moment. I think that calling her woman also helps to keep into perspective Jesus' mission that he was fulfilling in that very hour, to be the Lamb of God and take away the sins of the world. He's able to take care of his mother's temporal needs in that moment, as well as her eternal needs. From the cross, Jesus fulfills the commandment to honor your father and mother. He provides for the comfort and needs of his mother to the best of his ability. He didn't have any possessions, even though he was the Lord of everything. Only moments before he utters this statement, the soldiers are dividing his garments up. It's assumed that at this time, Mary's husband Joseph was probably dead and that she would become a widow. Christ yearned for his mother, whose heart was being pierced by his agony, and entrusted her not to his brothers who didn't believe in him yet, but to the disciple whom he loved. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother," as if to say, take care of her and provide for her as if she were your own mother. In John, Jesus gave Mary a spiritual son with a heart that could best understand her own. He put her into a spiritual family. John's obedience was immediate. It says, from that hour, he took her into his own household. It also says in this passage that Mary and John were standing nearby. What great love and courage that they would stand nearby the cross. Their very lives were in danger. They were in a hostile crowd with people that had murderous thoughts. But they were lovers and followers of Jesus, and their love gave them courage to stand nearby. Mary looked at her son. Her love for her son and Savior gave her courage to stand. I wonder if she was remembering in that moment when Simeon blessed her and blessed Jesus and Joseph in the temple and said to her, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." She must have pondered these words throughout the years, words that also spoke of him bringing salvation. I can't imagine what she endured looking at her son on the cross, wondering how this was salvation. Standing before this mystery, His body was torn and punctured, and he hung innocent and humiliated. Did she have a flood of memories from when he was little? Maybe a time when Jesus was hurt and she comforted him, or baked bread with him, or taught him how to grow vegetables in the garden, prayed with him, and offered him the hugs and kisses of a mother to a son. I was recently given a children's Bible, and there's the sweetest picture in there of Mary with Jesus when he's about 3, and she tenderly has her hand around his waist, and they're looking into each other's eyes. I wonder if she was thinking about that. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, also stood nearby. His love for the Lord, his teacher, his friend, his master, gave him courage. He reclined against Jesus' chest only the night before at the Passover meal. He observed and witnessed Jesus to the last breath. When all the other disciples fled, John followed Jesus to the cross. Where do you stand when you look at the cross? Are you in the distance, standing nearby, or at the foot? I encourage you to make time to stand and contemplate the cross, as Mary, John, and the other women did, and look at Jesus. They were not deterred by the fury of the enemy or the mystery of what they did not understand. Look upon the cross of Christ, view his sorrows and his sufferings and our sins laid upon him. Look to him for pardon and cleansing. Offer tears of affection, sympathy, humiliation for sin, and joy for our Savior.